Hi, and thank you for attending this talk about infrastructure drift and how you will probably never catch them all. So, bonjour, hi, I'm Stefan. I'm S. Jordan on Twitter and GitHub and GitLab and pretty much anywhere else on the internet. I've been in operations for the past 20 years. I co-founded some tech companies in Canada, in Europe, as well as One Sound Studio, pretty much though. I also co-founded Drift Control. This is a tool for us DevOps that manage Drift, and I will have the honor to present it to you at the very end of this talk. So it's Drift Control on GitHub. I also co-wrote Infrastructure as Code cookbook for Pact like 4 years ago, and I co-wrote it with Pierre. Salut Pierre, hello Montreal. So basically, what about the agenda? What are we going to talk about today? Pretty straightforward, three major parts. First, it's going to be about infrastructure as code, all the good intention and the ideal world each of us entered in when we started, and how it's actually going, you know, how it started, how it's going, and maybe like it was maybe different from what we expected. So we'll see. Then we'll drift together using Terraform and AWS live coding, you and me, like demos and terrible stories we can tell, and how things also went really wrong. So at the end, finally, I will present our own open source answer to our own problems, Drift Control, Drift CTL. And at the end of the talk, hopefully, we'll have a couple of minutes together for a quick Q&A session. So, what is it about this infrastructure drift? This is a quick definition. Infrastructure drift is what happens when the reality and the expectations don't match. Also known as "oh my god" in production, when things go really wrong, and that was pretty unexpected. So, what about this ideal world, this vision for a bright future that infrastructure as code was to offer us, like Plato's Republic was for the society a while ago? So we would have a single source of truth that would be the state in the case of Terraform toward the code. We would have versioning with Git. The code would be so great that it would be self-documenting. In this ideal world, we would have testing everywhere on the pipelines before and after TDD and BDD, etc., like the rest of engineering. Collaboration would be a bliss between teams, as you should. Infrastructure would be immutable. We could scale up and down and throw the rest away. GitOps would be everywhere. CI/CD for infrastructure, you know, no more locally running things. And basically all the credentials would be under control. And multi-cloud would solve all our problems because, you know, API everywhere. And we will have the skills to handle all those APIs and time to do this so greatly and in a matter of time. So that's great. That's great. That's basically how it started, and you probably relate. But how is it actually going? Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor, a few centuries after Plato, he wrote to himself in a notebook, well, do not expect Plato's ideal republic. And as it happens, we're not Roman emperors, okay, but our ideal republic is not to be expected either. So what how it started is not exactly how we saw it going, you know. So in the team, many of us were quite experienced, but we wanted more feedback about that experience, the way we were feeling. And so we just asked to hundreds of DevOps, CTOs, etc. Around the world, what they were in their infrastructure as code journey. And basically, what they told us was that changes were still happening outside of infrastructure as code. Many reasons for that, but mainly manual changes and scripts that were changing tags or whatever, and lambdas updating things after deployment, etc. So a lot of changes were still happening outside of infrastructure as code. So be it Terraform, be it Pulumi, or whatever in infra as code tool you use, doesn't matter. But also a bunch of other things as well, like basically the scope of change wasn't very often fully committed, because very often of broken processes, you know, people were like changing things manually on the web console for AWS and then backporting the changes in Terraform until Terraform stopped screaming, which means as well that people were still running Terraform locally with the right access keys on their own laptop. Terrible processes. And basically everybody knows that once you click everywhere on AWS console, things a lot of other things are deployed by AWS on the background, and so your Terraform code doesn't reflect exactly what's actually deployed online. So many people were aware of the good practices about the testing requirements, frameworks like TerraTest, etc., but most of them never had the time to learn and write and push tests, and sometimes it was even too costly to run for them. So basically, communication was still an issue for many teams. Async, even in those COVID-19 times, is still a major issue to communicate between teams. Immutable infrastructure is still a great struggle to achieve. A lot of the new projects are running more or less around this, but you still have legacy, you know, those thousands of VMs that you are running every day. So that's what I'm talking about. And basically, a lot of people were still gaining console access. And guess what? People with console access tend to change things on their access. And unless you lock them down completely, which is sometimes not possible because it's the boss, because it's the customer, because it's this special coworker who needs to do that special thing manually on the web console, well, problem will happen. Many people were still having issues with skills on their team for some new IaaS provider or something. Like the full team was very skilled on GCP, and for some reason this new project needs to run on Azure, and all the specifics for this provider is not immediately known to most of the team. So you end up with maybe bad practices in your infrastructure as code deployments. So, and basically, even if you have not many problems with that, everything that has an API is still not under infra as code. We've heard terrible stories about GitHub accesses not deployed using Terraform or DNS records, etc. Anything that can be used with Terraform wasn't yet by far deployed. So basically, all those behaviors have something in common. They generate drift. They lead to drift. So while it's pretty cool for cars, as we can see in this image, if you find it cool, basically, the discrepancy between intention and reality can lead to major issues, disasters, from security, misconfiguration, etc. It can be a real major pain. So most of the people that we met put something in place, like Terraform plan and apply, in Crontab, or in CI/CD somewhere, before and after some commits, etc. But well, we love Terraform, definitely. We love HashiCorp products. Terraform is an excellent provisioner, but it's not fair to attack the tool on something it's not meant to do. So anything that is outside its scope, it's just normal that Terraform doesn't get. So if there is a lot of changes that cannot be seen by Terraform, well, let's build maybe a tool to do it, but do not say that well, Terraform doesn't see it. So basically, all for everything that is outside the scope of Terraform, that's about security and compliance tools, and there are a very, very different type of software. So unfortunately, many of us expected Terraform plans in Crontabs and Cronjobs in CI/CD to report changes because some of the resources were managed by it. But unfortunately, we're gonna see it. But right now, it's not always the case. So let's get started with the stories. So the stories, there will be three of them. So around IAM, S3, and security groups. And basically, they are based on real stories that we simplified for this talk. So it's still easily understandable looking at the code quickly on during the conference. And basically the full story goes like this. There is an intern, he has a read-only access, and he ended up with access keys controlled by no one, and those keys were linked to an administrative policy, and nobody noticed. So how comes it ended up like this? So let me share my terminal. So basically, this is a small, it's a very tiny Terraform. So configuration file. We have a user, we have a key, we have a policy attachment for read-only. So it's very, very easy. As I said, it's simplified for this talk. And so now, basically, let's apply this configuration. It's gonna take a few seconds. All right. And basically, yeah, it's creating the bucket for the next demo, the VPC, the security group. Okay, God, it's done. So now let's move to the AWS console. And we see, okay, we have this intern MoSQL3 IAM user, and we can confirm that there is the key that was created by our own code. So the story goes like this. This intern went to the ops, to the DevOps guys, and said, okay, I cannot use my key for some reason. And the guys were in a rush, and they said, okay, they logged in to the management console, and they activated it, the key for the intern, and created a new one, and saying to them to themselves, all right, I'm pretty sure we're gonna remember it, and we're gonna add it to Terraform just in a few moments, and on top of that, Terraform will notify us if we forget. So if we go back to the terminal, in this case, what do you think would happen? Terraform apply on this IAM user. Basically, nothing. So in our case, while the very simple use case may have led our users to think that this specific key and user would notice any report, any change, it was not the case. So the story continues with this user. The user comes back 1 hour later.